Hey, everybody, welcome back to Little Things Are Big Things Education Podcast. This week, we are jumping into human needs, and we are going to get you kickstarted with our connection activity led by me. And we're going to talk about kind of the six major psychological needs, and we'll break them down into four surviving needs and two thriving needs. So let's get this thing started.
Let's get it going.
All right, so we want to get you kickstarted with this activity. I actually pulled a lot of this from Tony Robbins. I've gone to a lot of his events and done a lot of his research and studied some of his books, things like that. And one of the events we went to, he was like, yeah, totally use my stuff, just rebrand it. So for those of you who know Tony, you're going to probably recognize a lot of this. I've shifted some of the names and some of the explanations behind it just so it kind of fits my personality, a little bit of what we are doing here on littlebiged.com, and we want to share this with you. So this is my connection activity I've done with my students. I've also recorded myself going through the Google form, one for my students, just in case they weren't, you know, present during that class, they can do it at home. But also I wanted to make this available for you all as well. So we'd love for you to go check out littlebiged.com. It'll send you to my Peak State Mathematics. And underneath the shop, you can actually see this. It's called the Finding My Why in Life and in School. And feel free to do it yourself for free. You can click on the link and actually go through it. Or you can purchase it so that you can record your student responses and use it in your class. And it's only like $8. So we appreciate your support and thanks for joining us. Let's dive into this. So we're going to talk about four surviving needs, and these are four needs that literally every single human needs, and not all of them at the same level, right? But every single person to some degree needs to feel these four things. And the first one is we need to feel consistent, right? We got to have some consistency in our life. And if you have worked with students or maybe even in your own life where you feel totally out of control and nothing's consistent and you're like, oh my, I don't even know what's going to happen from moment to moment. You know how like unnerving that can feel and like nothing else in your life can function if you have zero consistency. So some of us don't value it as much as others, and that's totally fine. But all of us at some level need to feel a little bit of consistency in our life. The second one is to have the opposite of that, right? Like if everything was consistent, we'd be bored out of our mind. So we need some of the unexpected to happen in our life. We need to feel that variety. We need to feel the inconsistency. Like you got to have something keep you feeling alive. So those first two totally contradict each other. And again, is a perfect example of why we're going to value one more than the other. I know in my life, actually, the unexpected is something I value a lot. And I like a little bit of chaos. And even still, like, it's funny when I like really break it down and think about it, like, I like having the unexpected things that I want to have happen. You know, like I don't want the unexpected things that feel like they're wrecking my life, right? I'm like, oh, like this is a problem, but I do like the unexpected that makes me feel alive or something new or a challenge that, you know, like I can step into. And so it's just, it's interesting that even in each one of these, they're going to be, they're breaking down a lot, but it's going to create a lot of good conversation for you and your students as you talk about these and you get to know which ones they value the most. Number three is we got to feel unique, right? Like if I don't feel special, if I don't feel unique to you, if I don't feel like I'm an important part of the role, like I don't fit into the class, I don't fit into this friendship, I don't fit into this workplace, it's really hard for me to want to contribute because I'm like, I'm not even important. And this is actually a huge driving factor for me as a teacher. When I first get to know my students at the start of the year, why I put so much emphasis on getting to know my students' names is because if they are just like, hey, student, you know, like there's no uniqueness to that and they don't feel important. They're like, why am I going to work for you? You don't even know my name, right? So I want to get to know them. I want to build relationships. I need to know their name, which is like the fundamental piece of uniqueness, right? Like this identity kind of part. And so like, I try to get to know that immediately. And again, some of my students, that's going to be like their number one driver, right? Their number one need that needs to be met. And so those students, I really want to focus on getting to know why they're who they are, because that uniqueness is something that will build that relationship very quickly. The fourth surviving need here that every single person needs to feel at least at some level is to feel like oneness, is what I'm going to call it. Oneness with yourself, like actually understanding who you are. Oneness with other humans, where like, you know, like Dave and I will crack jokes back and forth, and we've got our insider, things that we've had since fifth grade, and definitely a lot of like one line movie stuff in college, all that stuff, right? And like we'll fill in each other's like sentences, or we'll banter back and forth. Like, oh gosh, I don't know. I forget what it was. We were talking Brian Regan the other week, and yeah, like we were talking about his new one on Netflix, At the Rocks or On the Rocks. And like just started like re-quoting his Walked on the Moon stuff, which is 20 years old.
I was gonna say, yeah, but it's like 20 years old at this point.
Yeah. But you and I are like one when it comes to that. Right. And that's a human need of all of us. And that's something that I know you and I both value, is this connection piece, obviously. And the whole driving force behind this entire podcast is creating oneness with your students, so that there's that we are a class, we are, you know, our school, whatever it is that we're building that community around, but everybody needs to feel a little bit of that oneness to at least some degree. So those are the four surviving needs. Now, how we achieve those needs can both be, you know, constructive and destructive and neutral, right? A lot of times that is going to be driven by some of our other, you know, main decision-making skills, right? And most all humans are driven by the decisions to either seek pleasure or to avoid pain. And so if my driving force is to seek pleasure and my number one need is, you know, the unexpected, I'm going to go try like new things that make me feel good. You know, like maybe I'm going to go try out new restaurants, and I'm going to take a chance and have the unexpected. And I'm in hopes that I find the next most delicious food I've ever tasted in my life. Right. I could do something that's a little bit more neutral. And maybe I'm just, you know, trying to just do something to like learn new people, or meet new people, but I'm just kind of like, I'm just doing it because it kind of adds some spice and I was bored. Or maybe I do something destructive because I've been stuck in my house during quarantine forever. I didn't do my homework. My parents are mad at me, and I need to just break loose. So I sneak out the window in the middle of the night because, you know, I want to go seek enjoyment and unexpected. It can be a destructive behavior. And maybe, you know, I lie to my parents, or I lie to my teacher. Oh, my dog ate my homework, or, you know, whatever it is, because I'm trying to avoid pain at all costs. And so, you know, depending on our drivers and all that stuff, there's a lot of different ways we behave. So it's definitely not this like black and white thing, but it's part of all of it. So I'm going to pause there for a moment, Dave. Is there anything that you wanted to speak to, or stuff that you've got that question? Oh my goodness. My dad. I'm hanging. Hey, FYI, y'all, if you hear like front door closed, I'm hanging out in my dad's office right now, and they've got their like security thing in here, and it's got the volume on like massive loud right now. So,
well, they are getting older. It's nice to know that they're safe though. Right. Yeah, I do have a couple things that I wanted to touch on from what you've said already. I think the one thing that really stood out to me when you were talking about oneness is, you know, we know when we talk about the teenage brain, right? Like it, that they do have this strong competing need to both belong and to be independent, right? And how those two things can come up and populate at the same time. So I just think that that's one of those things that's always important to remind ourselves of, that our kids are dealing with. I did have another thing that I thought was really interesting. When you were talking about names, I was actually just talking about this with my in-laws the other day. I think one of the things that is really interesting, really in the last, I would say 3 or 4 years for me at my school, I don't know if you've had the same experience, Tim, but I have a lot of kids that are really trying to take ownership of like the name that they go by. And so like, what's in the official school record? Like, they're like, you know, don't call me, you know, don't call me Leo, call me Lightning, or don't call me, you know, don't call me Kennedy, call me Andy. And you know, like in some cases, it's just like, they want to stand apart, where they want to go by something different than the name that their parents created for them. And then in a lot of cases, right, you're dealing with issues around gender identity and trying to make that shift and walking that line. You know, we do student conferences every year, the week of Thanksgiving. And it's one of those things I have to check in with my students who are going through that gender identity process of like, hey, do your parents know that you're going by Andy, or is like that just at school? Usually they'll tell me in advance, but I always like to double check just to make sure that I don't like accidentally out a student to their parents, because that can be really obviously traumatic. So I'm wondering if you are experiencing that same thing, where kids are even, I think it's even more important with the name thing, because now it's not just what's on the piece of paper that you can check. It's like, no, I've told you there's something else I want to be called by.
Right. No, I definitely have that same experience. And again, I think it's part of that identity. I think it's part of that uniqueness. I think honestly, it's just and as we start to get even into like the gender identity part, like that's part of the oneness too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm still maybe in the discovery process, or I've done a lot of thinking and this is what I've come up with. Like, I need you to honor and respect that. Yeah. And so absolutely. Like, I've got students that are like, hey, you'll see on the roster, this is what's printed. Please never, ever, ever call me that. Call me boom. You know, and we don't have like parent conferences. And I probably could do a much better job of sending more frequent emails, like personalized emails home to parents. So I haven't had to worry a whole lot about like that communication piece. Like, hey, have you had this conversation with your parents? But I just want to make sure that my classroom, right, is a super safe space for them. Mm. And so, yeah, I'm very cognizant of that and very aware of, you know, even if it's a nickname they prefer to go by, or if it's, you know, like their new preferred name for a number of different reasons.
Yeah, for sure. And then the one place where I had a real question was when you were talking about like the variety, you know, the whole idea that like variety is the spice of life and like kind of keep things different. How do you, I know that you're like, your classroom is fun and everything that we've like, I know a lot about the way that you teach, but one thing I'm wondering that if you can share with is like, how do you maintain routine in your classroom while still introducing things, new experiences for your kids, right? Because the content, in my experience, just having the content change, but having the exact same rhythm every week, there's like that real careful balance that I'm not sure that I've really struck yet of like having a routine, but also like changing it up every once in a while.
Yeah, great question. I think for me, and this comes back also, I think, to me as an athlete, and like in athletics, we have so many like daily drill kind of vibes. Mm-hmm. Like, I thrive on patterns, and consistency, but my human need to grow and feel alive and feel fulfilled, like, and I need that unexpected. I think a lot of my students have that too. And so you come into my room, you're going to expect music, you're going to expect something on the board, and we're going to get right into notes, and we're going to, you know, review anything that we need to cover from the day before or finish up, and then we're going to get into new content. So like the patterning is very consistent. The way I develop and the way I storytell throughout the day is where I add a lot of that spice.
Okay.
And so when I get into new content, if I can tell my students are starting to fade a little bit because, you know, it's feeling very routine and they're not having enough of that unexpected, I'll stop and like, wait, hold up, check this out, you know, and like create that quick sense of like, whoa, here it comes, you know. And like all of a sudden you grab their attention, and like, and maybe I don't go big with it, but I just do that to kind of like shape it up. And I come back, I'm like, what if you did this in all of your life? You know, like just come at him, like just something to break up so that you shift energy, you shift focus a little bit, and you kind of bring them back in.
Okay. That makes a ton of sense. And I know, for those of you that are listening and don't know Tim as well as I do, like one of his, unique skill sets that maybe we haven't highlighted in the podcast is you've talked about improv, or like your ability to improv is something that, like, that's not a skill that I really feel like I have. Like, I kind of like, I can plan fake improv, but like actual improv, I'm not super talented with. So I think that's one thing that, I see you being able to really read the room and then go, okay, I'm going to throw a change up with this thing that I'm going to pull out of my back pocket and
you totally, just reminded me too. I think I sent you a text on like Friday last week and I was like, hey, remind me of this. And you just did. So I appreciate it. We were in class and we were doing right triangle trigonometry. And it was one of those moments where like the kids are like, okay, we've done like 12 of these triangles of like identifying opposite, adjacent, and hypotenuse. Okay. Right. I was like, all right, now where can we use this? Right. And like, I've been trying to like have them look out the window at a tree, you know, and like how tall is that tree, you know, and can we do that without climbing the tree with a tape measure? And so all of a sudden one of my kids is like, he's like, wait, can you do this with anything? And I was like, yeah. He's like, can you find the height of the Burj Khalifa tower in Dubai? And I was like, yeah. And so like literally in the middle of class, I Google searched an image of the tower and I put it on the board. I drew a right triangle over the top of it. And I said, hey, you're standing over here. You're 1 mile away from the base of the tower. You're looking up at the top of the tower. You've got your cell phone. You've got your clinometer so that you can figure out the angle of elevation to the top of this tower. And you know, I'm like quickly doing the backwards math, like in front of all students while they're drawing this picture, and I can figure out what the angle needed to be to get the actual correct accurate height. And so I throw in the correct angle degree, we do the process, we find the height. I was like, all right, let's see how close we were. And we were like literally like on the dot to the foot. And so I was like, hey Google, how tall is the Burj Khalifa tower? And like I've got it Bluetooth through my speaker, and it was like, the Burj Khalifa tower is 25,017 feet. And the kids are like, oh, their mind. And I was like, yes, like that would be how I sneak in the unexpected. And I try to do a lot of that. And it's exactly what you're talking about, that improvisation, like running with a student want and desire and need, and filling it as quickly as you can, you know, in the moment.
I think that's a really great example of like not only you reading the room, but really like the kid like instigating the need for like a change up, or like, I'm not interested in talking about your tree, dude, but this building that I've heard of that's important to me for whatever reason, like let's talk about that. And the fact that you're willing to roll with that, and I know that that's part of your thing as well. So as long as we're talking about thriving, I think you said that there are two other needs that you say are specific to people who are thriving.
Yes. So those first ones like are survival, right? Like we all need them. We all need to feel consistency. We all need the unexpected. We all need to feel unique and special. We all need to feel connected. We all need oneness, right? Mm-hmm. And at a deeper level, we need to feel love, right? Mm-hmm. and then to thrive, to really reach like a fulfilling life and to be our highest best selves, we need to expand, which I think is the huge part of education, right? And you and I talk about this every day. We need to learn something new every day. We need to grow every day, because if you're not growing, you're dying, right? And so we need to grow. And unfortunately, that's not a surviving need. And a lot of people choose not to grow and expand, and they just exist, right? They just survive. Mm-hmm. And so, but in order for us to thrive, we need to expand. We need to keep growing. We need to keep learning. The second part is we need to serve. Like, you got to get outside of yourself. You got to give back. I would argue to say that's even us as teachers. Like, I would very much argue that half of our time is donated. People are like, oh yeah, teachers are underpaid, you know. And there's like the arguments on both sides, and like, oh, but you get summers off and blah blah blah. And like, when I go and I truly calculate like the amount of hours I put in with the level of education most of us are required to have, and you compare that to most other jobs, I'm like, no, like 25-40% of my time is just straight donated. Like, I'm not paid for that. And so for me, one of the ways that I don't get frustrated as a teacher about that is I recognize that's a part of who I need to be and serve. And I want to connect with young people. And so that's a choice for me. Mm-hmm. And so I use that to fill my needs and feel good about myself instead of sit back and piss and moan and, you know, complain about it.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because I do think like, that's one of the things, and I'm right there with you. Like, I definitely feel like teachers are underpaid, and but like that sense of understanding that it is a calling. It's not like less of a profession and more of a calling kind of statement. And not that that should be an excuse that's used to like just go ahead and keep underpaying us. And then the only other thing, I know this is a total tangent, but when you brought that up, it immediately triggered for me something that I was reading about a while ago. You know, we talk about the importance of representation in our society in a lot of different ways and how problematic it is for students of color that they don't see themselves teaching, right? And so if you don't see people of color leading the classroom, you don't really think of the school as a place where academics as a place that is meant for you. And I've had some really interesting conversations with some people about like, why is it that people of color often choose not to teach? And one of it is, right, like there's the baseline representation. Well, I never saw someone who looked like me teaching. And then like someone was real honest with me in a conversation. Then I heard it again in another podcast, which is just, if you're going to make me go to school for 6 years, you better pay me a hell of a lot more than what I'm being paid to be a teacher, right? Like there's that whole idea of like, there's a sense of like privilege that comes with being able to spend that much money on education and then not have it be the highest paying job opportunity coming out of that. So I do think that that's a really interesting component to all of that. And talking about it being a calling is just, that reminded me of that. And I thought it was an interesting thing that I've been diving deeper on the last few weeks.
Right. And I love how you speak to the idea of calling, right? Because whether it's teaching or something else, mm-hmm. I think there is always something in our lives that has called to us where we can serve. Mm-hmm. You know, and whether that's, you know, through different community groups or, you know, education or through like a big brother, big sister program or through, you know, Habitat for Humanity, you know, like there's so mm-hmm. many different groups or raising dogs. Like we've fostered dogs before. And so all these different spots where we can give our time and our expertise back in a form of service. And it doesn't always have to be unpaid. Like you and I in this exact moment, right, I think are doing this because we have a passion for education. We have a passion for connection with students, and we mm-hmm. want teachers to know what we know so that they can serve their students better. And we are trying to serve in this platform. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, it would be great if we can eventually make some money and you all go in and you buy this, you know, program for $8 and you teach all your students. And, you know, that's something that we're hoping for. So it doesn't have to be this 100% charitable giving, like there's nothing there, but it can be both. Right. Mm-hmm. And I love that you called it the calling, because most of us have a calling. We just avoid it because we think we're supposed to be doing something else. So. Yeah. Fill that need and be fulfilled by mm-hmm. serving and growing.
Well, I really like how you broke. I'm not as familiar with Tony Robbins as you are, but I don't know if this is something that you got from him, but that idea of separating it into, there are things that we need to do to kind of get to our baseline, or you refer to it as survival. And then there's this other level of like, okay, well, what do we need if we're going to thrive, right? Because those are two different levels to get to. I really like how you broke that down. When you're talking with your students about these things, or when you're referring back to the form, how do you differentiate that for them, or how do you talk to your students about it?
And the cool thing about the form, right, like I said, is I actually go through and I do some of like the interactive workshop almost kind mm-hmm. of to it. And I talk to them like, hey, like here's 10 things that most of us enjoy doing, rate them on like a scale of 1 to 10, like mm-hmm. 10 being the most important to you. And so even just like initially start to be like, okay, these kind of things I gravitate towards. And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, here's your needs, you know, that might be most important. And then we talk about, okay, where are you at currently? Awesome. Rate yourself. These are probably your top two needs that you primarily focus on. And then we're like, is that where you want to be? And a lot of times the initial is, you know, they want to feel unique and they want to feel consistency. Like that's very mm-hmm. common for humans, right? Like I want to be special and I want to know I'm safe. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's very, very common. So we have a conversation about that. And even just the order of those top two needs, right, can be a game changer. And so we talk about the thriving needs and is this where you want to eventually go? And some of my students will shift from, you know, consistency and uniqueness to maybe service and uniqueness. So they're mm-hmm. like, I still want to be awesome, but I'm going to shift from being safe to shift to serving others. Mm-hmm. And that's like a game changer, right? Mm-hmm. Or even if we stayed just with like consistency and uniqueness, but if I went from, or here, I'll use this example. And this one, actually, I think I have inside the Google form as well, is uniqueness and oneness. If I value being unique, number one, and that oneness connection with others is number two, I might hold back my love or my, you know, willingness to support you until I feel important. Until I know that you care about me, I'm not going to give you love. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you just flip-flop those two, and now love or oneness and connection is kind of on top, and compared to that uniqueness piece, I'm going to give my love no matter what, because it makes me feel like the person I am. And I know you're going to value me because I love you, you know? And so, or like I have a connection with my higher power, and I'm not going to question my relationship with my higher power because I don't feel like I'm getting what I've asked for, versus I'm going to constantly give. And I know I'm of importance and everything's happening for me, not to me, you know, like shifting those two can just be a completely different life.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, right, they can still manifest in neutral, positive, or negative ways. So I think that's a really great tool. I'm glad that you shared that with everybody. I'm excited to take that and use it next year as well. I'm going to incorporate that into my stuff. So I know I'm going to use it, and I hope our listeners are able to use it as well.
Perfect. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for sharing.